Get motivated and inspired to take your business to the next level with the Marissa Rader Show. This podcast was created for female entrepreneurs who want to manage the juggling act of successfully running a business and raising a family. Hosted by mom, wife, CEO, and breakthrough coach, Marissa Rader, the show features topics such as effortless goal setting, forming successful habits, reducing stress levels, starting your own business, and more. Take your business to new heights with Marissa's expertise on how to be an empowered woman in charge of her career. By understanding how both sides can be equally important, you will learn how to make amazing things happen while also balancing home life. It is absolutely possible. Listen now as Marissa helps give you the insight and guidance that you need to reach all your goals. Check out her website at www.marissarader.com or follow along on Instagram at Marissa Rader Coaching for tips, tricks, and motivation to unlock the secrets of success in all aspects of your life.
Are on guest number two of our speaker series here for the Woman to Woman Conference. And I am so excited to introduce you to Melissa. She is someone that came on my radar months back, and I just knew like her presence and just the way she carried herself and the things that she does and her marketing and all the things like people needed to hear from her. So I'm so excited to have her on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited. I'm looking, actually, I noticed this before we hit record, but you're in your tank top and here I am in my like long sleeve sweatshirt. It's like 90 degrees here, but here we are.
Yeah. Well, and I just kicked my slippers off a few minutes ago before I jumped in my office, but I was walking around in slippers because like air conditioning makes me cold. Like I don't like a lot of air conditioning, which
is weird. My gosh, that's too funny. Yeah. Yes. Well, and like I said, I'm trying to get some shower steamers to dry. So I have my air conditioning set on 68. So, I mean, it's like the Arctic
really
in here.
Cold.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyway, tell us a little bit about you and what you do and your family, just anything you really want us to know.
Yeah. So I've been married to Scott for 15 years this summer. And then we have two girls, ages 12 and 9. And I think that those ages are just the best. It's like the sweet spot of parenting so far. So they are home with us for the first time this summer, which has been an adventure, and a little bit of a learning curve because they're a little too old for daycare and that sort of thing. So yeah, so that's been a big adjustment for us this summer. So very busy with their activities, doing all that. And then I own two businesses. So my husband and I together own Severance Brewing Company, which is located in downtown Sioux Falls, right by Falls Park. So he's the brewer, runs all the day-to-day stuff. And I, of course, naturally fall into helping with marketing and design for the company. And then also just kind of being his sounding board for the business decisions and stuff. And there's a lot of them with what comes with a brewery and having a team and making all those decisions. And then my main business, or like my primary full-time job, is Branch Creative, which is started out just as like a freelancing side gig while I was working full-time way back in 2009. So this summer, actually July here, is my anniversary month, 14 years since I started my business, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So it was just on the side, and as my family grew, my business grew, and I realized when Avery was like 9 months old that I kind of always knew, you know, in your gut, like kind of what you want to do as a mom, like when you become a mom and stuff. And I was like, I just always knew I did not want to work full time.
Yeah.
I wanted to work. I love what I do, but, working full time, paying someone to watch my daughter for more hours than I could see her in a day just really stunk. So, I eventually got to get a full-time job or a part-time job, working for a digital marketing agency, for a couple of years. And then I kind of built my business on the side. Luckily that part-time job was really supportive of my business because they focused on the digital side.
Yeah.
And I focused a lot more on like the print and logo design and like branding side.
Yeah.
So they would actually refer clients to me like back and forth because we kind of had two different avenues, you know, in the same kind of realm, but kind of two different specialties.
Yeah.
So they were super supportive. And then when I had Addie, our youngest, I was able to go full-time from home, which I thought was going to be like the dream situation, to be full-time home with an almost 3-year-old and a newborn. And that was a very rude awakening, like the first day that this is not sunshine and rainbows. I'm going to go as like perfectly as I had planned. So,
oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah. So I very quickly learned that like I need help and that I could still work from home and be a really present mom, but it's okay to maybe like get a little bit of like preschool time for my 3-year-old or, you know, or have my sister come help with the newborn or, you know, whatever. So, we made it work, but it was definitely a really like, you kind of just went day to day. I would say it wasn't like, I like to be planned out and organized and I had to really just kind of let some things go to make it work, but, so worth it. And then, so I've been on my own now for, 9 years, having my own thing and built it up to where it is my full-time job, which has been amazing.
Oh, that's so awesome. And to start that as a mom of a newborn and, you know, or newborn and a 3-year-old is no easy task. Like I did something very similar. Like I had my youngest I guess she's my middle child now. She was my youngest at the time, was 9 months old, and they were only 16 months apart. So they were, you know, basically almost Irish twins, but not quite, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember buying my website domain and being like, this is it. This is my ticket out of teaching. Here we go. There's no way this is failing because this is what I want. And then I found really quickly that our kids still went to daycare even after I left teaching. I mean, we had somebody come into our house for a while. And then when she moved on and was no longer available, then we ended up taking them to daycare so they could do the preschool daycare thing. And then all of a sudden in December, our daycare permanently closed on us and all the other daycares in the area were full. And so then it was like completely 180'd us, you know, my husband farms and I'm trying to do, you know, running two businesses at home. And yeah, my kids have been home the entire time.
Yeah. It's wild. And
I get it. I'm sympathetic. Yeah. Like, as you're talking about that, I'm just like, yes, people don't understand how hard that really is. And even in my mind, I was like, it'll be fine. You know, school will start up again. But this summer has rocked my world.
Yeah. It's been crazy. And I think going into it, like my husband, I think it was my husband that had like this, like come to Jesus moment with me where he was like, okay, you're being really hard on yourself because you're not a stay-at-home mom.
Yep.
You are a work-from-home mom. Like, and I think that I was trying to be the stay-at-home mom and still try to run a business and grow my business. So I think having that mindset shift and finally having someone tell me, like, there's a difference. Both are equally wonderful, but there's a difference. And you need to kind of change your expectations based on what you actually are. So.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. 100%. Because first off, I don't think that I could be a 100% stay-at-home mom. There's no way. I mean, I love doing things with my kids and I love the activities and stuff, but I like being able to get up, have a slow morning with them, do some sort of activity with them, and then they're ready to go do their own thing. And then I can get work done in the afternoon. And that just is what works for us. I think I would be bored, but I also am not like a runner type of mom where I'm like, let's go. We'll go to the pool every day and we'll do this. And we're going to do all these fun things. That's just not me. And I know that.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I try to do a little bit of that in the summertime here, but yeah, it's, I like having this thing that's mine and I'm passionate. I love what I do. It doesn't feel like work. Like I get to just like hop into my office and sit down at the computer and do something I love. So, so it's just been a real blessing. And then of course, you know, even in these last 9 years, like even my business itself has, you know, grown, like evolved in different ways. And, a few years ago, well, it was like kind of the post-pandemic thing. Like, you know, I, at one point, if you had asked me in December of 2019, like what my goal was for my business, it was, I wanted the brick and mortar. I wanted to grow a team. Because at the time I had probably 3 or 4 contracted designers working with me, cranking out work. And I had this vision of like, what if I had this like really cute studio, maybe downtown, and then moms or, you know, new designers even can come in with their computer. They're still contractors, but we'd have this like cool space. They could come work and meet clients there and whatever. And It sounded really cool at the time. And then COVID hit and I was like, I really love working from home. Like, I'm so glad I was set up for this and I didn't have to worry about a physical space.
You were already used to doing it.
Oh yeah.
Most of us, that was about the time that we transitioned, or at least for me.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of my business besties, that was about the time that that was like the tipping point for us. You know, we were on the verge of going full time and then it was like, oh, okay, here you go.
Yeah. It's happening.
Whether you want to baptize you by fire.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, there was no change for me. I mean, and most of my clients stayed pretty much the same too, which was such a blessing. So I stayed busy and I just like through that time though, there were some changes where like one of my biggest clients hired my position internally and didn't need me anymore. And it was kind of that natural progression, grow it into something where you can hire it full time. Same thing happened with another one of my biggest clients. They hired a marketing person, didn't need me as much. And then my go-to like contracted designer, I was giving her 20, 25 hours of work a week. She took a full-time job for an agency. And I was just like, what is going on? Like, you know, you kind of like feel like everything's just kind of being taken away. Yes, you can. That's my next. Bye, honey. I'm on the call. Love you. She was asking if she could have a popsicle.
Have all the
true summer. Yeah, we're being real here. True summer. So that all happened. At the same time, I was going through this coaching program, learning and revamping my whole process about branding. And through that process, I just decided that like, okay, I think that the brick and mortar thing was ego thing. Like I was like, I think that I wanted it because I wanted to prove to everybody that I could have this successful business and have something physical to show for it. So then after going through this whole branding process thing, I restructured my business to be a brand strategy focused studio. And I had pared it down to just one contracted designer is all. And that was like the best thing I ever could have done for my business. Like revenue wise, time wise, the level of depth I get to go into with clients in branding, because I own Severance, I think it gives me a unique perspective, like being on both sides of the table, like as the designer, but also as the business owner. And so like to sit down in the strategy process and like have these really deep conversations about their story and their values and like who their audience is and like all those things, and just getting to the nitty gritty I love that part. And that has nothing to do with design. Right. You can do all that really cool stuff and then move into design. So that's been like, that's been really, really fun for my business in the last couple of years.
Well, and the fact that you're such an expert, I feel like that's what sets you apart too, is that that's the part that you really, really enjoy, because that's the part that most business owners, especially if they're just starting it out or getting going, they like go through the motions of doing it, but they don't deep dive into it. And even I've worked with a couple people, you know, throughout the years of my business where they ask questions, but even the questions they asked, I found out weren't deep enough or weren't the right questions to really get to know. And then you can't do that design aspect until you know this, because it's like throwing spaghetti at the wall and just kind of seeing what sticks with your audience and hoping whatever you put out there works. But when you do all of that really nitty gritty stuff at the beginning, that's when you know you can put something out and be confident in it and know like, this is actually targeted to my ideal client.
Yeah. Really good stuff. It's like asking like, but why? And like, just really getting down into the weeds. I think that the designs are better. The client is just set up so much better for success. And they feel so much more confident. They're like, oh my gosh, like, I feel like I just spewed all this random information at you. And you came back at me with this like 30-page beautiful presentation with all of my things, you know, it's just, it's just really fun to like, bring it all together like that. So
all the stuff that business owners really like have, A, they're not qualified for it unless they went to school for marketing, and B, don't really want to do anyway.
Right. It's not their, you know, and it's not their area of expertise. You know, it's like I hire an accountant to do that, you know, my books, and I hire a lawyer to do that. And a lot of people think they can do design or think they can do branding, and they can, you know, I don't know, they can know their story. They might have a really good message and know their audience, but I think to tie it all together, it really helps to work with someone who knows those things. So yeah.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. What is something that you suggest for business owners that don't have that in place yet, that they're listening and they're like, man, they're onto something. Maybe I should pause and work on this. What's something like, where should they start when they start this whole process? Or if they're going to go back and revamp what they've already done?
Well, definitely reach out. No,
exactly. Yeah.
Here's my card. I'm gonna say, reach out to someone, but,
in the show notes.
But no, I think there's so many good resources online these days too. I mean, find some podcasts, find some YouTube videos. Like if you don't have the time, because it is an investment of time and then also an investment of resources to do it right and to do it well. So if you don't have that, like see what is out there online even to educate yourself and kind of walk you through it, or buy a book if you like to read. I think that would be a great place to start just to get a better understanding of it. I can't remember his name. Story Brand. Miller, Don Miller.
Yes, Don. He might be a genius. I mean, let's go there.
Yeah.
I've read that book like 4 times, and every time I read it, I'm like, did I actually read this the last time? Like, it's like to pick up on all new things.
Yeah. I think his book is called like Building a Story Brand. And so there's books like that out there that like, it might not get you from A to Z, but it's going to get you a really good foundational understanding of like, when you're talking to your audience, like how are you positioning them as the hero in your story? Or like, are you actually talking to them, or are you just spewing out information to everybody, you know, like speak to everyone, you speak to no one that.
Yes.
Yeah. Say, you know, so it's, I think that there's resources out there that could really help you get started, or go to events, like educational events, like Woman to Woman has, you know, that educational aspect that you can pick up on some things.
Exactly. And one of the things that I really started to do was paying attention to how other people were doing it, you know, like really diving in and dissecting, you know, like with Maddie, she does that with Taylor Swift so well. Like even like Jenna Kutcher or Amy Porterfield, or there's a guy that I love watching how he does things. His name is Colin Boyd, and he teaches you to speak from stage and tell your story and, you know, do that kind of thing. But just even watching how he markets himself and tells his stories and things. And I listen to his podcast constantly, but I just really started paying attention to what other people are doing. Like the people that I was automatically drawn to, they are doing something. It's their marketing. It's how they're doing it. It's how they're positioning themselves. And just really paying attention to that was kind of a turning point for me too, I feel like.
Right. For sure.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, I cannot think of his name. And I sometimes have the books just like laying around on my floor, but of course I have them cleaned up currently because there's enough other things out like shower steamers and vacation.
Shower steamers.
But it's called like Building Super Fans or something, you know, of the sort, like how do you get people? And he talks about his wife's obsession with the Backstreet Boys, which is more my style than Taylor Swift. Like love her dearly, but I'm definitely not like a true Swiftie by any means. But Backstreet Boys, on the other hand, like when they came to Sioux Falls, I was all about it. I was like first in line tickets on Ticketmaster, like made sure I had them. Like, you know, he talks about why women our age are still just so obsessed with the Backstreet Boys, even now. Like how are they still so successful and can sell out world tours and and it was the story they told us when we were teens. Their songs were written in a way to draw us in and make us relate to them. And, you know, it was like they were speaking to us, which that's what they were doing. And it was a whole game plan. It wasn't just they wrote these songs that were on their heart. Like there was an entire strategic marketing plan behind
what made us all
fall in love with them or NSYNC or, you know, insert.
And now it's like nostalgic. So
exactly. Now it's just like, oh, it takes me back to, you know, my,
you know, I just saw,
or whatever.
Mattel is onto this too. I was just reading an article this morning, actually, that popped up, that with the Barbie movie coming out, it sounds like there are plans to do more Mattel movies, like Polly Pocket and like some of those others that might be coming out, which I was like, oh, they're totally onto the nostalgia thing here.
Well, and have you seen, I can't even think of her name, but the actress that's playing Barbie in that movie,
yeah,
every time she's seen in public, her outfits are like replicas of ones that like Barbie wore in 1995 or 1998, you know, like the vintage.
The one I saw was vintage, like one of the original dresses, but yes, I know the.
Yes, but you know, even vintage. That is just building their brand. Or I just read a story about the designer who designed the Barbie Malibu Dream House for the movie and stuff. And it looks just like the dream house that my kids have in the basement. Yeah. I'm like, she was amazing. She's on point. Exactly. Like it looks like the real house Barbie would live in. Like, I'm just so impressed. But the hype, I had zero interest in it when somebody first told me, did you hear they're making a Barbie movie? And now in the last 2 weeks, I'm like, kind of excited for this movie to come out.
Yeah. I just reserved tickets this morning for my sisters and I to go. We're all wearing Barbie t-shirts and like Barbie earrings. And I plan to have pink nails.
I'm here for it. 100%.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Between the Taylor Swift concert that Maddie's going to and the Barbie movie that you're going to, I need pictures of all the things. We're going to share them out on all the social media platforms because I'm here for this. Like, come to the conference. Yes. But no, I'm really just here to be like a fly on the wall in all of the exciting things that everyone's doing.
Yeah. This should be a good time.
Oh my gosh. I absolutely love it. I just keep thinking back to like the branding, and obviously Mattel and, you know, Barbie, or these people have big budgets to do these type of things. So what do you suggest for people to start with as if they don't have a huge budget, you know, they're just starting out or they're, you know, growing as quickly as they can, but don't have a ton of capital to invest into their marketing. What's something that they could really focus on?
Really pay attention to tracking, because if you have limited resources, you don't want to be like spending a ton on like Facebook ads if it's getting you like zero return on ad spend, right?
Yeah.
But if you show up to like a networking meeting and all of a sudden you have all these leads and you're having coffee with people and you're generating business, like, well, that costs you a cup of coffee and not $100 in Facebook ads, you know, like, so I think if you're just starting out, like try a lot of different things.
Yes.
But track it. So that way you can put your effort and your resources to, you know, where it's actually, you know, creating the most, generating the most business and growth for you. That would be my biggest piece of advice. But also to check out the resources that are like around you. Like I know Sioux Falls has like Startup Sioux Falls, and they have all these awesome programs that can help you with some of these things and getting off the ground and like with marketing efforts and educational, you know, our workshops to go to and stuff. So those are all like really great types of resources.
Yes. I love that. Honestly. So one of the things, I started a product-based business back last fall. It was like kind of on a whim, but not really. I mean, you know, like some of the pieces were in place, but not a lot of them.
Sure.
And what I found was that the more events I showed up to, the more my sales took off. And I've done Facebook ads, I've done those type of things, but that's an anxiety inducing for me. Showing up and just like being present with people,
I'm
way more comfortable doing that. But like you said, you have to track where you're at and what's getting you those leads and bringing in those orders or those connections, because there are some events that I've shown up to where it was like, that was not worth my gas money or my time to sit there, because you know, it was, it just wasn't, you know. But then there are other things where you walk away and you almost can feel it when something's going right. And when you have that really like exhilarating feeling, like that's your sign to track it, because that's not a typical thing that people like to do, like sit down and do the data driven pieces, but you absolutely have to do it, because how else do you know how you're spending your money or where your time, you know, time is money. And when you're spending a bunch of time doing things that aren't producing and you know, I talk about income producing activities a lot, and most people think it's like, I have to post on social media every single day and I need to do a reel and I need to do this and that. And honestly, it turns out to just be busy work. And if they'd spent that hour and a half out in the community, making connections with people, it probably would have generated three times what that.
Oh yeah. 100%
worth of posts that you just spent hours upon hours creating.
Yeah. And it's totally dependent on the business. Yes. But I have found, like, for my, I'm a service-based business, and I found that, so I joined a networking group handful of years ago, and that completely transformed my business. Like, being there every week, standing up and talking about my business every single week and sharing, like, you know, you have to share like what you are asking for that week.
Yeah.
So I had every week think like, okay, I need to come up with like, or have a good idea of like, okay, what is my business needing this week in terms of like a referral or a connection, or what do I need for support for my business that week? And telling about what I do very succinctly in front of people. And that, just from a growth perspective, was amazing. But the connections I made, like, and it's like, they connect you with one person, that person connects you with the next person. And so like my business just exploded that year. So I did that for a few years, and then I started, I left that group, and now I'm in like SME Sioux Falls. Mm-hmm. And making connections there. I got onto an event committee there, because I knew that like just going to the meetings isn't good enough. I need to get on a committee so I can make all these connections. And I'm starting to gain clients from it. And that really, like, you can't go into it with the intent of like, oh, I'm going to get to know you because I want the business. It's got to be right. Like, I want to get to know you because maybe, you know, we can have this really cool relationship and I can provide you with connections, and then maybe you can provide me with connections and everybody wins. So yeah, that's just been like so huge for my business. And honestly, I only have a social media presence so that when people meet me and decide they maybe want to work with me, if they go look at Facebook, it looks like I'm actually like a legit business.
Yes.
So I have a social media person who I adore, and she helps me with like planning out content. And I obviously provide like the graphics and imagery, and then she schedules it all out for me, which is amazing. But I'm like, three posts a week is all I need so that it looks like active. And I can share content. Like, I share about branding. I'll jump on in stories a lot, like, and just share. That's where I kind of show up randomly and share random or personal things or behind the scenes things. But yeah, so it's just like, it just really depends. Like, I remember that day, however many years ago, when Instagram shut down and people were losing their minds. Like, oh my God, like, that's the end of my business. And da, 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 da. And it was just like, you put way too many eggs in one basket. Like, Instagram shut down for me, and I was like, good, one less thing to worry about. Yeah.
I felt the same way.
Yeah. It's like, oh gosh. But no, and social media can be, it just depends on the business. And maybe social media is where it's at for your business. And then by all means, like, then you should invest in that as your strategy. Cause you can, like, I have seen businesses do really well and get a really good return on like ad spend and stuff there. Your Facebook ads and reels and stuff. It just really depends, and really, really paying attention to where your audience is at, and, you know, where they're going to be open to receiving your information and acting on it.
Yeah, exactly. And what I found is, even just as a coach and, you know, life coach and that kind of thing, a lot of my clients, I mean, a few have come from, you know, all over, but we've either connected in a Facebook group, or we've connected in a real life situation, or, you know, and then they follow along with the Instagram journey. It's not necessarily like they found me on Instagram and then they were like, I need to buy from you. You know, it's like this, like that slow burn of a relationship, you know, and I'm even like that with products. Sometimes I will follow people for a year or more before I'm like, okay, yeah, I actually need what you're selling now, you know, and it has nothing to do with them or their marketing or their anything. It's just the person, like, it's, you know, a personal thing more than an what they're doing wrong thing. And so, yeah, I get it, because I don't know, I'm a little over social media, and I think in my mind just claim that my ideal client is too, or my, you know, my ideal customer isn't just hanging out on Instagram anymore like we used to.
And maybe not. I question that too. I'm like, is it my age? And probably a little bit of it is my age, but also I'm just like, I just don't have time for this. Like, it just feels overwhelming. And that's why I have help with that now too. But yeah, it's just, and I know that in tracking my leads over the last like 15 years, I just know like, that's not where I get my people. I get my people from connections and referrals and like building real relationships. You know, cause it is a big, you know, investing in a brand is, it's a very personal thing. And so you really want to go into the relationship with this mutual trust that like this person's going to really get you and be able to do what you need them to do for your business.
Yes. No, I completely agree. And that's kind of like the coaching business in a nutshell too. Like I've hired coaches online that I've never met before. Actually, all but one coach that I've hired, I've never met in real life before, but it was kind of like that gut feeling, you know, but I also wanted to make sure that we shared the same values and we had these same things. Yeah. And I feel like that's what people need to do when they're looking for somebody to help them with their brand is you don't necessarily have to share all the same values and all the same things. That person needs to understand your values and understand your story and where you're coming from and be open to, you know, being able to decipher between what their values and views are versus your businesses. And, you know, I've worked with people before that when I wanted to put that I was a Christian life coach in my bio, they were like, no, 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 that it will ruin you. And I'm like, but that's what I am. Like, that's the people I want to work with. They're like, you're closing off an entire segment of people that might hire you. And I was like, or maybe people will actually come to me because they're looking for somebody who shares those values, you know? And it's just all in who you are as a brand and, you know, having those right people. And so, I know I totally understand that. I'm like a real deal.
Yeah. No, that's great that you can differentiate yourself that way and niche down and then it just makes it really clear when you're talking to people about what you do and who you're, you don't come out and say my ideal client is, but when you're speaking in your posts and stuff, it can be very in your messaging and your positioning of things.
Exactly.
You can make it very clear who you're talking to.
So. Yep. Well, and even when I have a client that, is from the West Coast, or she's a former client now, but you know, when I started doing life coaching with her and stuff, she was like, I just don't really know what I believe, honestly. And it just came up in conversation. Like, it's not something that I talk about in every call with people or anything like that, you know, but it's just like if you have questions about it, or if you want that to be a really big part of your journey, like I can help you with that piece of it. You know, I'm not going to necessarily tell you to manifest all the things and, you know, like, praise the universe or coaches might tell you to do. You just never know. But I mean, it was probably like 6 months later, she started coming back and just asking me like, so how did you, you know, move forward in your faith journey? And how did you come to decide like this is what you really believed and stuff, you know? And it was not anything we had ever really talked about or anything, but just, you know, different things I'd shared in my stories or, you know, like a Bible verse here or there. Like she was just starting to pick up on that I was a safe person that she could come and ask these questions to and not feel dumb about asking them. And that's all I want from people is for them to know that like, you can come ask me whatever. You can ask me about, who knows what, and I'll answer.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Oh, I have enjoyed having you on today. Yeah, this has been amazing. I'm so excited for people to come to the conference and get to hear you speak and just learn even more. But is there anything that you are like, I need to tell the world this or the, you know, few hundred listeners that we have weekly?
Yeah.
Before we end that you know, if you don't say it now, you'll regret it later.
You know, I don't think I have any major things to say at the moment. I'm just really excited to come and share. We'll be talking about branding. Like we kind of talked about getting into branding. So business branding essentials is like, I think what I named my talk. So we're going to just like give you some really good things to walk away with to start building a really solid brand. So I'm really excited to be there. I'm really excited to hear from the other speakers. I think it's going to be a really awesome event. So, and I'm just so excited and honored that I get to be a part of it.
Oh, well, we are so excited that you are going to be a part of it. Yes, it is one of those things where when I started looking for speakers for this year, last year it was the inaugural yeah. conference, you know? And so I just went to who I knew. And so like Carla Santi and Rebecca Scott, mm-hmm. I had previous relationships with them that dated back like middle school and yeah. college years, you know, like used to babysit their kids or she was yeah. my counselor, you know, like I just found people that way that I just knew probably mm-hmm. wouldn't say no to me if I asked yeah. really nicely.
Yeah. I just met with Carla this week, small world.
Yeah. Yes. She was our keynote last year. Yep. And yeah. And then this year it was like, okay, kind of used up all the people that I knew, you know, like, yeah. but all of a sudden just through the conference and through other avenues and the networking pieces, like names just started coming to me and it was just like this mm-hmm. gut feeling. And you were actually the first person I even asked to come do the conference this year, because mm-hmm. I just remember seeing you and I had not met you in real life, like nothing or anything yeah. like that. And I was like, he has to be there.
Oh, awesome.
Shot. So oh, here we are.
Yeah. Podcast. Lose my ego for the night. Thanks. No, thank you though.
You're going to leave and you're yeah. like, yeah. Oh my gosh, I love it. Well, once again, the conference is on September 9th at Calico Skies in Inwood, Iowa. We would be so happy to have anyone join us. We have people coming from as far away as Omaha and Minneapolis so far when I've been tracking where the ticket sales are going on. So people are traveling upwards of 4 or more hours to come to this. So I'm like starting to, you know, like it's setting in, it's getting real, yeah, but yes,
real.
We want as many women there as we can so that we can network away, because that's the main goal here is to learn and grow as a collective group. So
love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Marissa.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here. And until next time, we're going to be here cheering you on.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Marissa Rader Show. Our goal here is to support and encourage female entrepreneurship, along with managing the everyday chaos life throws our way. We strive to help women who want to take their lives and business aspirations to the next level and know that it takes focus, dedication, and hard work to get there. For more great content from Marissa, be sure to check out her website, www.marissarader.com, or follow her on Instagram at Marissa Rader Coaching. See you next time on the Marissa Rader Show.